You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by HomeWatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and their loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
News Talk 1360 WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with your host, Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. And now, Caring Connections.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode of Caring Connections on WCHL. Today, we will be discussing the myths of senior assisted living with Peggy Smith, Executive Director of the North Carolina Assisted Living Association. Welcome, Peggy.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you here. I'm very excited to talk to you about this topic today. Okay, so this North Carolina Assisted Living Association, that sounds like one of the best kept secrets in the area.
I would agree. And we are trying to get our name out there more in the community just so folks know what we provide.
That's wonderful. And so one of the top 10 things that you brought with you that people may not know about this topic is the reality of what exactly is what you also call as, and we'll refer today as, NINCALA. Mm-hmm. What you do is you provide political advocacy, regulatory support, communication with members and the larger community, and education and training for those working in assisted living communities. Is that it in a nutshell?
I think that covers our main focus. Oh. And again, it's a continuation. I would say we primarily focus in the political regulatory environment quite a bit on behalf of members who then serve those that live with us.
So you don't directly serve community members then?
Correct.
Do you sometimes get calls, I would suspect?
We do, and more and more.
Yeah.
More and more.
Okay. So your main focus is on serving seniors and the frail elderly in assisted living communities throughout our state, I understand. And NINCALA stands for the right of every North Carolina senior and frail elder who needs assistance with activities of daily living, which are known as things like toileting, bathing, dressing, ambulating, eating, to receive assistance that is responsive, dignified, positive, and person-centered in a residential environment. Mm-hmm. And lastly, the North Carolina Assisted Living Association was established in 1994 as a state affiliate of the Assisted Living Federation of America, the only national organization dedicated exclusively to the assisted living on every level of care. Is that what you do?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Very good. Well, let's get into your questions that you're going to be answering for me today. Explain to me the assisted living community concept is compared to other levels of care. I know things are morphing and changing on a day-to-day basis, it seems. What exactly is assisted living?
I think one of the greatest myths about what we do is being compared to what's been known for many, many years as skilled level care or nursing home mm-hmm. level of care. And we find we're constantly having to clarify and educate the public and other professionals we interact with on the difference. And the main difference being, we are more of a residential home model mm-hmm. compared to a medical model, which is what we'd find at the skilled and nursing level of care. Even though we're assisting people with activities of daily living, and additionally, we often are there to manage medications, to help those with various types of dementia, with mm-hmm. cueing, redirecting, and such. We still are doing it in a home-like environment, which for such a transition from our own homes, we want people to know that it's not the old concept of the concrete block
sterile
building that's sterile and medical. It's very home-like.
But it seems that, at least what I've noticed in the last 14 or 15 years, that the level of care provided in assisted living communities has really grown.
Yes.
I mean, it seems to me, and maybe you can clarify some of this, you know, even in my work, I've found that, you know, some assisted livings are willing to do more things than mm-hmm. others, mm-hmm. and, you know, some will even allow a person maybe to have some hydration scenarios or maybe a trach that needs to be cleaned.
Yes.
But there has got to be a line that's drawn somewhere. Mm-hmm. When a person can no longer, I mean, is there regulations that state you can or cannot provide this? And is it up to an organization to decide what they want to provide?
North Carolina, compared to other states throughout the country, I would say is very regulated for this level of care and in the name of safety for residents is what that's driven by. We are certainly, when we look back over 20, 25, 30 years, seeing the acuity level of people coming to us at a much higher level.
Okay.
There is the flexibility company to company, community to community, depending on their infrastructure and internal resources.
Okay.
If, for example, they are able to have nurses on board 5 days a week at least, 8 to 5, those are where you might see the higher acuity in particular. Things we wouldn't have even seen in assisted living probably 10 years ago, tracheotomies and things along that line. Most, though, you will find are going to be hesitant to do that if they don't have the medical expertise in particular on board. The reason the acuity is higher, and we often in the industry talk about we are what skilled or nursing home used to be, is that people are staying home longer before placement wherever. And that's often driven by crisis, unfortunately. And we're living longer. So that's why assisted living currently would even be considering assisting folks beyond the activities of daily living with some of their medical needs.
So what is the most that assisted living can do? Let's maybe start there.
I would say the difference in skilled in us is that all we are required to do by regulation is to have nurse consultants on board to help us with assessments up front and oversight throughout a person's stay. Where when we go to the skilled nursing home level of care, that's saying a doctor is determining that they need 24-hour nursing oversight, nursing care. We, even in our best scenarios, would not tend to have nurses in the building or in the community 24/7. So if someone has a situation that truly, and again, it's the doctor that determines that. We have to very much rely on them. If it's determined that skilled level is needed, basically, again, that being a definition of 24 nursing care, that is not what we're doing. And we have to watch on the front end of who we admit because to discharge is very difficult and challenging as well. We have to be involved in helping find alternative placement. So we're finding that is a greater challenge in assisted living, that because people live with us longer, they may come in quite healthy, but if they're with us 10 to 15 years, their situation could look very different down the road.
It seems like it could be very confusing to families trying to decide, well, does mom need assisted living or nursing home? I mean, especially when maybe they had round-the-clock home care in their home before they made that choice, and maybe they viewed that as 24-hour nursing care. In the reality, it wasn't, but people just don't know that.
That's
They often would come in and say, well, mom's been cared for by nurses 24-7, don't even realize the person there was a CNA or a companion. So, gosh, I wonder how you get the word out about that.
The other factor that plays into this as well is the financial cost at the various levels, because we know for example, at the nursing home skilled level of care, we're going to have more involvement of Medicare and Medicaid if needed. At the assisted living level of care, Medicaid, which is the program for those that have spent down private funding, is an optional program. We're fortunate in North Carolina that we have providers that do consider Medicaid reimbursement to allow someone to live with us. Where on the in-home side, again, I know Medicare, Medicaid has a part as well. But depending on where the environment is, the person's being cared for, and the services, you know, provided, I think that financial piece is a big part people have to look at as well.
Well, we're going to dive into this some more when we get back from a short break. I'm here today with Peggy Smith, Executive Director from NANCALA, talking about assisted living community myths, and we will be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on News Talk 1360 WCHL is supported by HomeWatch Caregivers. And now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I'm here today with Peggy Smith on WCHL talking about the myths of assisted living communities. And I'm your host, Nicole Bruno. Welcome back, Peggy.
Glad to be here again. Thank you, Nicole.
So we were just talking about the whole assisted living community concept and as it was compared to other levels of continuum of care, and talking really about the variances of levels of care that one community can provide versus another. What about when you're looking at assisted living communities and trying to make the determination of which one's best for mom? Say mom has an Alzheimer's diagnosis, and we know that can be a very long process. Mm-hmm. And she may come in, you know, walking and talking and pretty well continent, but this is, there's a lot of safety issues and progresses through the stages and maybe eventually needs a two-person transfer or, you know, a feeding assistance or that type of a situation. Is it true that some communities may or may not be willing to provide that level of care, and should that be something that people consider when they're walking into the building for the first time?
I think that's definitely the best time. I think there's a real need for us to do more homework. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, what can tend to happen is a crisis faces the family right. or the individual, and then we're having to make very quick decisions, which will ultimately mean we won't have as much choice.
Yeah.
So up front, not only considering where is the individual mm-hmm. coming into the community and their needs, but looking ahead, depending on, especially with dementias, mm-hmm. depending on the type and the progression expected, asking those questions, knowing what to ask mm-hmm. of the community to determine, will they be able to stay there throughout the rest of life if they choose to?
Okay.
It's so important as much as possible, and everything isn't avoidable, but mm-hmm. for older individuals, especially those with dementias, we don't want a lot of transition from community to community.
Right.
That's difficult on the professional staff as well. Mm-hmm. So the more we can do homework in preparing ahead of this even being a possibility, even for ourselves,
right.
We will be better educated as to what's out there and know what to ask up front. But certainly those very poignant questions of, as the disease progresses, will you be able to care for?
Mm-hmm.
And in what way can you care for?
Right.
If we're talking dementia in particular, there are assisted living communities with special care units that are licensed and specifically designed for the disease.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I would begin in that scenario.
Okay.
If we're talking multiple medical conditions, maybe not to the point of needing skilled care, but needing just oversight mm-hmm. within the community.
Sure.
Even there, it's so hard to know what one's life might
turn
be
into.
Over years yeah. of being in an assisted living community.
Sure.
But up front is certainly better. And I would say behind that, continual communication is key
okay.
within the assisted living community.
Okay.
And that often knowing what to ask or not feeling that you're bothersome to the staff, it very much takes the professional staff and the family working as well together as they can
mm-hmm.
to provide the best care.
Great. Those are some great pointers. You mentioned briefly a little earlier about North Carolina being more highly regulated than some other states in our country. So assisted living communities are regulated. How are they regulated? What mm-hmm. does that picture look like?
We are regulated through the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, and
okay.
in particular, the Division of Health Service Regulation.
Okay.
And anything coming out of that department obviously has also involved our General Assembly mm-hmm. in consideration of what needs to be in place minimally in mm-hmm. order to officially run an assisted living community in the state of North Carolina. Again, we are quite regulated compared to many other states. For example, we do oversee a lot of medication management.
Okay.
And in our state, we utilize med techs or medication technicians to mm-hmm. do so. There are states where there isn't any kind of educational experience required to be able to administer medications
oh,
within the community, which is frightening.
Yeah.
And even for what we do have to ensure proper oversight of that and management of that is concerning for the responsibility given.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what aspect you're looking at within the assisted living community, some would say, you know, our requirements for that aspect, medication management in particular, are a little higher even sometimes than what you would find in skilled care.
Wow.
So overall, I think, again, the important thing being the rules and regulations we must live by are in the name of safety for each and every resident. It's not, the intent is not to make it difficult, But obviously, it's a balance between too much regulation can take away from resident care.
Okay.
And that's where we as an organization work with the regulatory environment. They're very good to call on us to see, as they plan, how might that have a negative impact on a community.
Now, we've had a couple of guests mention before when they've been on the show about the star rating system mm-hmm. as a way to find out, kind of get right. a temperature of what's going on right. with that community. So these communities are regulated, and then regulations are checked to make sure that people are following what they should be doing. Is that how that works? And right. then a report is given, basically?
Before the star rating system itself came into place, each community was being annually and still is annually reviewed and inspected by the state through the Department of Health Service Regulation. The star rating system came behind that as a tool to help a consumer look more quickly at the status of a community. Yeah. I will share that our organization was not a big proponent of that mm-hmm. plan because we didn't want the public to simply just look at a star rating, which is based on a potentially one-day visit within right. a community. And let's say that one day things were perfect and it was a 4. Mm-hmm. Things can change very quickly, unfortunately, sure. due to the number of people involved. We still very much encourage consumers to do their homework, to visit communities sure. they're considering at various times, to talk with residents, family members, staff, mm-hmm. Join them for a meal, yeah. really be involved in the experience before mm-hmm. making a decision.
So don't just trust that like a consumer
exactly.
report.
Exactly. exactly. And so
it's test drive a little.
Yeah. Right, right.
So all this sounds like it could be very expensive. How are assisted living communities paid for?
In our membership, the majority, I would say, is privately being paid for. Okay. We do have provider members, meaning assisted living companies, many of the national companies here in North Carolina that okay. do accept some Medicaid payment, which is being revisited in our state currently. I have seen within our membership, and we represent about 15,000 beds in 200 assisted living communities, anywhere from, I would say, $3,000 to $8,000 a month, the $8,000 being your very high-end dementia okay. care, your $3,000 being someone who's fairly capable of caring for themselves, but wants to live in assisted living for the socialization
maybe
doesn't
have aspect. That support network and,
right. You know. They don't want to become isolated at mm-hmm. home. So the range is quite wide. The way people pay for that is through personal assets, money saved, retirement mm-hmm. programming.
Long-term care insurance.
Long-term care would be one of the best things we can do. Mm-hmm. And being sure in particular in choosing such coverage that it would cover various levels of care. I've seen some people get caught thinking they had a long-term care policy to pay for mm-hmm. assisted living to then find out it only paid for in the home care.
So true, so true.
So very privately driven as far as covering the expense.
Well, we are going to take a quick break. I'm here today with Peggy Smith talking about the myths of assisted living communities on WCHL, and we will be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on News Talk 1360 WCHL is supported by HomeWatch Caregivers. And now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I'm here today with Janice Pierce from North State Medical Transport talking about transportation options for older adults in our community on WCHL. And I'm your host, Nicole Bruno. Okay, we were just starting to get into sort of the price factors. Let's putting Medicare and Medicaid aside and in private insurances. And you were talking about some options already that were free in the community. But what about some of those paid for shuttle services? What kind of a range can we expect?
Well, you're looking at private companies, so definitely there are some ranges.
Sure.
But just so people have an idea, private companies can charge anywhere from $25 to $60 for base fees.
And then is that per round trip or one way?
That's one way.
Oh, okay. Because right. you're going to get there. You need to get back.
No, and there are some that charge round trip.
Okay.
So there's a wide range depending
okay.
on, again, the quality and how well they maintenance their vehicles. I've heard some people say $50 round trip, but those, again, are the companies that
the rickety ones that are falling apart.
that answer the phone hello.
Oh,
or,
okay.
Ooh, you know. So it just depends. And then as far as ambulance services go, that is significantly more. You're looking at qualified staff, and they have a lot of equipment in the back of the trucks. And those vary from $150 to $250
each
for
way.
A load fee. Yeah,
oh,
and
wow.
then there's also mileage charges.
Okay.
And that those charges are a little bit different because they're based on Medicare rates.
Okay.
So you look at a Medicare rate, and then those are adjusted from there.
Okay.
So that's how those are figured.
Great. Okay. So how about as we age, we're all getting older day by day, and the grays on my hair are sprouting by the second. What are some important factors that we should be considering regarding transportation that maybe we haven't thought of?
Right. You know, we all get old, so let's just get prepared. Mm-hmm. If you're still driving, here's some things to think about.
Okay.
Have your vision checked. Make sure that your lenses are the right prescription. Mm-hmm. You know, vision is really important when you're driving, whether it's in the daytime or the nighttime, especially
sure.
at night. You know, take a refresher course in driving safety. We're
okay.
never too old for education. AAA actually offers one online. You can search it on their webpage if you're a member there.
Sure.
You can take it right online. Make sure you're positioned comfortably in your car. You can always move your seat up and down. Have
mm-hmm.
someone help you if you need to.
Okay.
To make sure you can get in and out of your vehicle safely, but also that you can see over
yeah.
the dashboard.
Yeah.
So those are good things to think about. Also, when it's time to stop driving, don't let that force you to be a recluse.
Yeah.
You know, no one should be stuck in your house because you can't drive. You've been driving your whole life, you know, since you turned 16.
Right.
Let somebody else drive you around for a change. There's
yeah.
plenty of things to do and be involved in, and not driving should never stop you from being involved in your community.
And how about a few resources? I know they brought a few with you today.
Well, let me give you those.
I know that definitely we could probably Google the Easy Rider here locally, the Easy Rider Senior
Absolutely.
Shuttle. On just go to Google and just Google Chapel Hill Easy Rider Senior Shuttle. But what else?
Well, if you want to learn more about Medicare coverage, you
mm-hmm.
can do that. Just Google Medicare coverage of ambulance services. And then lastly, if you want to learn more about my company, North State Medical
sure.
Transport, you can go to nsmt.biz, B-I-Z.
Okay, and we'll find all the information we need there.
Absolutely, or call me.
What's your phone number?
My number is listed on our website, but you can also reach me at 919-261-8911, and you can ask for Janice.
Well, thank you for joining us today as we discuss transportation options for older adults on WCHL. It was such a pleasure to have you here today, Janice. And as always, you may email your caregiving issues to caring@1360wchl.com.
The purpose of Caring Connections is to educate listeners to help improve the quality of life for families, for professional caregivers, as well as for those people afflicted with Alzheimer's disease.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno is supported by HomeWatch Caregivers and can be heard Saturdays at 10 a.m. Email questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Caring Connections is a presentation of News Talk 1360 WCHL.